Hi, it's Larry here of Xbox's Major Nelson. Welcome to the official Xbox podcast. Like, subscribe, ring the bell, do all that dance and join us. And when you do that, you get to have some Xbox news and gaming information. Joining me today, over on the left-hand side, we've got Jeff Rubenstein. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, thanks for phoning it in, Larry.
What does that mean? And Kelly Lombardi over there. Hi, Kelly.
The spiel is very
Hi.
I just, look, everybody does that. And you always, so just, I'm going to give you a little behind the scenes. When I don't do that, Jeff is always like, you got to remember, you got to let, I'm like, look, they know what to do. I know this is a smart audience. They don't need me to tell them what to do. They're going to do it. So, okay. Welcome. Yes, Jeff, go ahead. I can tell.
Smash those buttons, kids.
Thank you, Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Kelly, you can say smash those buttons. When I say it, it sounds, you know, hello, like Larry, fellow kids.
You can't say that anymore, Larry. That's what I would tell them. It's like, no, Larry.
We are back on video this week. We've been audio for the past couple weeks. I've rebuilt my PC. And of course, Kelly joined us video last month, but she's back now for a few shows. This is kind of our final-ish show of the year. We're doing a live show next week, next Friday at 1 o'clock Pacific. That's 4 o'clock Eastern. We are going to be in studio. Rebecca's going to come back
December 16th, the triumphant return of Rebecca.
Yeah, so she's back. So we're excited to be, and more importantly, we're going to be live in studio. So we're going to do a live stream. And then of course, if you you can pick it up on all your podcast platforms. So that's the beautiful part about it. Right? Right. Okay. What are we all playing this week, gang? Kelly, you're our special guest. Let's get you in first. Have you been refurbishing houses and flipping houses and setting up deck chairs?
Yeah, I'm taking a break from my interior decorating, and I have been playing the new Disney Dreamlight Valley update.
Okay.
So they had like their, I don't know if you would call it a winter update, but they added some new DLC, some new characters that you can go recruit for your village, lots of fun new player quests, things like that. So right. I have been loading in pretty much every day to like do my dailies, check to see what's in the store, clear all of the night thorns. I always call it nightshade. I'm like, that's not the right word.
Night thorns.
And so it's really fun to have some new quests to do and seeing some new characters in the game. It's kind of like, oh, I know them. So I've been having a lot of fun.
Good.
I feel like that game is really carved itself a niche. Like when it was first coming out, people were like, I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, what is
and
this?
And then and then very much getting into it.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'll check it out. And then, you know, cut to I'm like, I've max leveled my character over the weekend. Now what? So yeah. It's definitely something that people really got into and like spent a lot of time in. Like I was like, oh, I'll just casually check it out. And next thing I know, I'm like hours.
And it's included with Game Pass, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Yeah. That's it, Jeffrey. Get it in there. Game Pass.
Get it. Yeah, get it. and the DLC is free as well. So it's just an update and big fan.
All right.
Go play it.
That's fun. I was really excited. The Halo team dropped a surprise update this week, their December update, which had a bunch of stuff. Jeff, I don't know if you've got the whole list in front of you.
I do, actually.
Yeah.
Being prepared. Yes. It seems like the big request delivered, I think, a little bit earlier than was originally promised, was the custom game browser.
Yeah.
And so that allows you to, it works out really well with Forge as well. And so you can, pull together, look for certain games on certain maps that you want to play.
That's what I did last. I played one last night that was like a level from Mario. It had vibrant colors, and I was playing with a couple people from 343. Kudos to the community because they've taken Forge as you would expect and wrapped their arms around it, and they are creating
very quickly, very quickly.
Yeah,
and we were speaking with the Forge team, and I think there was always the expectation that the community would deliver really awesome content. I think that the speed at which people came
to
grips with the tools, which are significantly more advanced, and there's so many more things you can do with them over, let's say, Halo 5's incarnation of Forge, that it was like, wow, already?
Yeah.
It's really cool to see. Did you play on the pit?
I did.
The version of the pit?
I did.
Which is, yeah.
Classic Halo 3 map. One of my favorites. I spent so much time in that one, but it unfortunately, I did not come out as a victor, but I did enjoy it nonetheless.
So if you're looking for that game in the custom game browser, it's the map has been reborn as Empyrean, beginning with an E, E-M-P-Y-R-E-A-N. It's a reimagining of the Pit with some refreshed aesthetics. Mm-hmm. There's also complimentary cosmetics. All present armor cores are now available to all players. Those are the things upon which you build, add all the pauldrons and knickknacks and other things like that. All 10 cadet coatings have been added to existing armor cores. Anyway, you're going to want to check out Halo Waypoint. There's lots of quality of life improvements that have been requested. There's a ton there. Full patch notes and everything, but a nice surprise for the Halo players.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So I'm playing that, of course. Vampire Survivors. We talked about that last time. Still,
so you're enjoying it? How far?
Can't have
you
stop got? Talking about it.
I think I'm like 8 minutes. I think I survived 8 minutes, 8 or 9 minutes already. So I'm enjoying it.
Good job.
Good.
Okay.
Job, kiddo.
Okay. Knock it off, you two. Knock it off. I don't have as much time. I like boot it up. I play for a
couple. You got 8 minutes, apparently. I mean, you know.
I will say the first time I loaded in, I died within 20 seconds. Like, I couldn't figure out, like, why my character, like, I couldn't. I was like, what button is attack?
Right.
I couldn't get my head around it. So 8 minutes is good.
Apparently, it's not. I can tell by. I can tell by this judgy face. So.
Who, me? What? Look, we should talk about how to play. Maybe like you stream it and I can maybe give you a few pointers. Yeah. And I'm not an expert, but you should be able to, with the right loadout and everything, get close to that 30 minutes.
No, I mean, I play it. I have a little bit of fun. Of course, it's quick resume. So you go right back into it and just kind of enjoy it. So what else am I playing? In fact, I got to take a look here. Yeah, that's really. Oh, I started Callisto Protocol last week.
Oh, so, did you get sucked in any turbines or anything?
Not yet.
Super gruesome.
But I've seen it. But I'm enjoying it. It's a mystery. It's creepy. It's all those things. So it's in space. It's got robots. And what's not to like?
So. Robots in space.
Robots in space are big things. So mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm playing. Jeff, I see you've got something on the back there. Is that what you're playing this week?
I always do the wrong
thing. All the time.
I do it every time. Every time. Because you're seeing a mirror image. Anyway, yeah, Marvel's Midnight Suns. We had talked about it as it came out last week. It's got elements of, I don't want to say XCOM, but basically it's made by Firaxis, who made the modern XCOM games. And I was like, oh, Marvel XCOM, that sounds like it's up my alley. It's really a lot different. First of all, you're not worried that your people are going to die like permanently every time. Right. You're not going to kill off Doctor Strange in canon. It's actually, I would say, much more forgiving to get into, but no less strategic. You come into these battles, they're 3v3. You're superheroes. So I've got like, I might have Captain Marvel on my team, or I might have this Hunter character that you got, or Iron Man. And when you're watching the Avengers, they're not sitting there having to duke it out for 10 minutes with one particular character. There's like goons and henchmen that are like, psh, psh, you're done. And that's the case in this game. So you might be fighting a tougher character like Venom that is going to be taking a while and is very powerful. But at the same time, there's goons and henchmen. And what you do, it's really just about strategically making the most of your turns. And so you might be able to punch one of those goons into a transformer or into a electrical transformer. It's not that kind of crossover.
I was like, what a crossover.
A 55 gallon drum or something like that that explodes and then hurts Venom. So you can actually utilize these goons to sort of power up so that you can use your bigger moves onto whoever the bigger target is. So it's really fun and interesting, and it's sort of you feel smart when you beat a level in a creative way. And that's what I really enjoy. Then there's the other half of the game, which is very much like a Persona game where you're spending time with Iron Man, who's confiding his feelings to you, Tony Stark, in Tony Stark form. He doesn't just walk around the house in the outfit. That would probably be uncomfortable. But and you're having conversations with them, and it increases or decreases your affinity with them, which impacts things that you can do in the battles. And so it's very much like that persona element of like, all right, there's the whole RPG and fighting and strategy element, and then there's the relationship building. I'm also playing Persona 5 at the same time. I've gone way down the rabbit hole on that one. It's
you
so
always
good.
Do. You always do.
Yes. I haven't played Persona games since Persona 4 Golden, which was maybe 10 years ago at this point.
Right.
So I forgot how good these games are. These games are so good. I highly recommend them. If you like JRPGs at all, it's just so perfectly done. It takes place in more of a modern day Tokyo. And it was just, you know, you're taking the trains and it's the actual train lines, or they might change like instead of the JR lines, the JL line, but whatever. Like you come out in Shibuya, the crossing is there. The Hachiko statue is where it should be. And so it's really cool to see that.
I miss Japan.
And go to these different neighborhoods and spend time with folks. And then of course you go into these crazy dungeons that are in people's imaginations. So I will say starting both of these games, Midnight Suns and Persona 5 at the same time, that's all I'm going to have time to play for a little bit. But I did do one other thing, which is, Chapter 4 of Fortnite launched this week.
Yep.
And while there's new content and Geralt's going to be in the game, not in there yet, I think, but will drop and I will be very in for that. The big headline, I think, here is that the game moved into Unreal Engine 5.1 on next-gen console. So I'm playing on Xbox Series X.
Looks amazing.
The lighting is just like phenomenal. Even when you're in the battle bus and you're going over the map, you can see, oh, the sun is over here, and you can see the everything casting real-time shadows.
Right.
And when you land, just like the blades of grass and everything, it's just there. It's just so much more visually rich is how I'd explain it. So I played a duos with my daughter. We hadn't played in a little bit and we finished eighth and that was good. And I was like, oh, I never recorded any video. So she had to go to bed and I ran a solo and I ended up winning, which I don't think I ever won a solo.
You didn't send me the video.
I got the crown. It's on Twitter, Larry. Follow me.
Well, I know, but I want to put it on here. I should include it in the show. No, of course I guess I could have.
I should have done that. But, and of course in that area, it was a snow area. So you couldn't see all the color and everything.
Yeah.
But, worth jumping into to see just how
free to play
this game can look. Yep, and it's free to play. So awesome stuff there.
You know what I want to point out is Kelly, I was noticing when you dialed in and you joined us, let me just bring you up full screen here. You need to decorate your tree.
I know.
It's kind of looking a little lonely back there. What's going on?
Okay, so every year I try to buy like the saddest tree available.
The Charlie Brown Christmas tree?
Yeah, like I go to like my local grocery store and I pick like, you know, the sad little guy that no one wants and I dress it up. And so the other day I went and this tree was like wrapped up and it was just by itself in the rain and it was just like laying on the ground and I was like, oh, so I bought it and yeah, and I took it home. But actually it's like a really nice tree.
It's very nice.
I had to like let it fall though, because it was all wrapped up. And so I have all my decorations out. I was going to decorate last night, but I went to my friend, shout out the Mav show, went to her house for dinner.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, Mav. Yeah.
Yeah. We love Mav here. So, tonight's going to be tree decorating night. So I'll have to post an update, on Twitter. And I have another game that I have been playing every day. It's not an Xbox game, but I have really been, I know. They exist.
Like I didn't talk about God of War for 10 minutes. Yeah.
I have been playing, it's a word game called Contexto, and it's kind of like Wordle where it's contexto.me and every day there is one word of the day and it's just a blank box and you type in words and it will tell you how close or how far away from the word you are, and you keep guessing until you get the word of the day. So
I'm doing it right now. So I'm trying to figure it out. So contexto.me and
I can't think of any words. Give me a word, please.
I put in bump, silly, and team, and it's spitting me numbers back, and I have no idea what these numbers are.
So if the numbers are big, that means you're very far away from the word of the day.
Oh.
If it's red, you're like, you'll see it's like almost like a progress bar.
Okay.
And it'll tell you like how close you are.
Okay.
If it's green, then you know you're getting up there.
Okay.
And so some best practices, some tips and tricks. I typically search for like person, place, or thing, and it might help you narrow down like what category it falls into.
Okay.
Because sometimes the word recently was like dream. Recently it was table. Like it is just typically a pretty simple word, and it's just kind of trying to narrow down and get.
So when the bar goes across, I put in team and it comes, that means I'm getting closer, right?
I have no idea. I just have a number and I'm like 3,000 off. It wasn't Xbox this week, by the way.
Right.
It's not. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay.
Let me show you.
I just typed in sky and got 79.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. So I'll hold it up. Spoilers for today. It doesn't show you like the actual word, but you can see, like the progress bar. So red, it will show that like you're really far away. And then as you get words that are closer to the word of the day, it's either yellow, and then you get into green. And so you're like, oh, the word apple is only 61 associated words away from the word of the day.
Got it.
So you know you're getting close. So like I would start trying, I think my next guess was like juice or something like that. And yeah, there's one word every day, and
So it's related, because I added to sky, and it was, so sky was 79. I was like, well, let me try say, S-A-Y, only one letter different, and it was way far away.
Yeah.
So
it's associated words, not like similarity of structure of the
okay.
word.
Associated words. Okay.
So yeah, in the morning, I like have my coffee, play Contexto, and Jeff, you reminded me, because there are some days I feel so smart. Like today, I got the word so fast. Yesterday, the word was brain, and it took me like 160 guesses to get it.
Wow.
And as soon as I guessed, I was like, of course it's that. Like, how did I not think of that? Because I was guessing like lungs, organs, like all of these things, and didn't guess brain.
I will give it a try. And there are three little dots over on the right-hand side. Click that, and I'll show you how to play Contexto.me. So there's your latest daily game. When you're not in Disney, you can Disney Dreamlight. You can go in here and play that. You've got all your tasks.
Exactly. I'm gone for the rest of the show now.
I know. My best friend, Kelsey, and I play, and we share results. And it's funny because on the days it takes me like 130 guesses, she'll get it in like 20. And then there are days where it takes her that long and I get it in like 20. And so it's just kind of how your brain works and the words that you associate with other words. I find it's like a good warm up for my brain every morning.
Ooh, I just got today's word.
Ooh.
Jeff,
and so you feel accomplished.
I feel accomplished, and it is something that it's going to make a lot of sense when you get it, Jeff. Because it's anyway.
I have six.
Six what?
How do I get closer to that? Six away.
Okay. Six What's away. The word?
I
what was so your six word?
Yeah.
Blue.
So.
I got the three.
Keep going.
See, it's so exciting.
All right.
Keep going. Anyway.
Right, I'll keep trying.
Okay. We've got to get going here. We have a lot of interviews we're going to do. Jeff, do you want to do some news first before we get in the interviews? Because we got a lot of stuff to talk about.
I'm guessing. Okay, sure. All right. So if you're listening to this on Friday, you're like, why aren't they talking about the Game Awards? And well, that's because we record this on Wednesday. But what we do know is that... And we have a blog post on this that many of the nominees, 16 of them, are available on Game Pass. So games like As Dusk Falls, hi Kelly, Plague Tale Requiem, which has 5 nominations, Immortality, Tunic, Vampire Survivors, Two Point Campus, all available on Xbox Game Pass. So well worth checking out. And of course, one of the most anticipated, Starfield, will be. On Game Pass when it comes out as well. So we're checking out Play the Best Games on Game Pass. And then, you know, I'm sure we'll talk next week about who the winners are.
Live show next week. Live show.
We're all winners. That being said, I do have visibility on some of the things that are going to be announced. Not so much the winners, but just certain things where we're aware.
Some news moments, yeah.
I'm like opening Discord for some reason.
While you open it,
Yeah.
Oh. I was going to a lot of Diablo in the news today. I meant to bring this up before the show. I might be stealing your thunder, Jeff.
Well, we have an interview later on with somebody from Diablo, so don't talk too much about it, because I'm going to let them deliver the news.
All right. Well, let them do it. We do have a release date for Diablo 4. Very excited to be playing that next year. There's a new trailer for Star Wars Jedi Survivor. We heard that the game would be being shown at
he's got a vest on, right?
We haven't seen it yet.
Not a smock.
I think Cal Kestis, I think he's on the run. He's surviving, so he can't make, you know, look good necessarily. But anyway, it's available for pre-order, and there will be some exclusive cosmetic items like the Obi-Wan Kenobi inspired Jedi Survival Cosmetic Pack. Anyway, very excited for that because the previous game was just like absolutely phenomenal, Fallen Order. So very much looking forward to playing this game in March when it comes out, March 17th. Hey, that's my St. Patrick's Day. All settled. So a lot of other stuff. We have it all over on Xbox Wire in one bundled up place. So news.xbox.com.
Yep.
Hope you take a look at that.
It's the home of the podcast, Fall Guys, too, by the way.
A Fall Guys Fortnite Gears of War crossover. So
you've been asking for that, haven't you, Jeff?
Well, I always like the, you know, you want your beans to be dressed up. I think mine is Ezio right now, but I'll be able to move to either Marcus Fenix or Kate Diaz. Marcus Fenix, Kate Diaz, or General Rom are joining the Bean Horde. And then Kate and Marcus, who have skins in Fortnite, it's going back into Fortnite. I already own those, but maybe I'll redress them up and take a break from Psylocke of the X-Men, who is my good luck skin. It's where I usually do the best.
Noted.
Thank you. I knew you wanted to know. Hey, you might say, I want to play games that aren't out yet. Because sometimes when you come out of the Game Awards.
Yeah, because you don't have enough to play now.
Well, that's true. We all have a backlog, but the reality is, there's something like more attractive about things that you can't get yet than about what you already have. There's always that feeling. We've come back from E3. It's like, I want to play things that don't exist yet. Yeah. And well, you get to have it both ways because the ID at Xbox Winter Game Demo Event is out now. 22 demos. We did this last year. A lot of cool games that aren't out yet that you get to try out. And Let's Cook Together 2 seems really interesting. It's a cooking game for 2 to 4 players. Wow, that sounds a lot like Overcooked or something, but it takes place in a dystopian future in which global warming has taken its toll on the earth. Cook like your dishes, but like cook dishes like your life depended on it. I love that description. There's also Inculinati, and I don't know exactly what it's about, but looking at the visuals,
all these games.
If you enjoyed playing Pentiment and you want to play more font fun, Inculinati looks like something worth checking out. And then Thirsty Suitors, which was a game a lot of people were talking about. It was revealed, I want to say it was during the Xbox and Bethesda showcase last June. You can play the demo. It's from Annapurna. They always do good stuff. So that and 21 other games available, demos for you to play for a very limited time only. That's really only through the 12th. So play now and get excited for games that'll be coming out next year.
Play now, play often.
Yes. Elden Ring. You played Elden Ring. Did you play Elden Ring? Larry, I know you played a little bit.
Yep.
Okay. So Kelly, in the game.
Wow.
That's fine. Look, we can't all play everything, especially when you get sucked into Disney Dreamlight Valley. Yeah.
And you're arranging deck chairs.
Yeah. I had boats to decorate. Okay. I got a lot going on over here.
So in the game, there were times where there were these arenas, like Colosseums. They look like, and I was like, oh, how do I get in here? I can't. Well, now you can because there are these like PvP modes that are in the game. They're available now. There's one in Limgrave. There's one in Caelid. There's one in the West Capital. So, and there's different things that you can combat with other people. There's ones where you can bring in your spirit ashes. There's ones where you can't. Anyway, it's there now. Free update. There's also a patch updated as well. It's the 1.08. So you'll want to check that out. Avatar is now in Minecraft, not Avatar James Cameron Avatar, but Avatar
Last Airbender.
Yep. Exactly, which I ended up watching because my kid was into it, and I was like, oh, this is really good. I wish I had caught it the first time around, but obviously it didn't go anywhere. So you can play their skins for Aang, their skins for
Do you remember
for
that Korra. Game on the 360 where you could like put your character in a corner and just hit A and you'd unlock all the achievements?
There's a lot of games like that 360 where you can get owls in, like very King Kong, like right. You get them pretty easy. Not so easy these days. But anyway, there's an immersive DLC. You can bend the elements to restore harmony to the world's four nations. So some really cool stuff there. You want to check that out if you are a Minecrafter. You had something you had wanted to mention, didn't you, Kelly, about the pilots and how many?
Yes.
Yes. I'm so excited to celebrate my team and the great work that they do on Flight Sim. 10 million pilots have played and flown in Flight Sim, which is quite an accomplishment. We love to see it. So
congratulations.
Yeah, shout out to the team.
To the team. More importantly, congratulations to the community for just jumping in and taking off, as it were. So
yeah.
Thank you for that.
And lastly, go on, please.
It was one of those games like I knew I was going to be terrible at, but I was able to jump in on xCloud and try it out. And I actually had a lot of fun.
Simulator, so. Kelly, don't call it a game. Don't call it a game.
Simulator. Yeah, I should know better.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like the simulator queen, but yeah. It was a really fun time. Did not successfully land any planes, but I had a lot of fun flying around.
Lovely. Jeff?
Lastly, we had a lot of big games that came out last week. Oh, actually, there's a few other things. There are some games that are out this week, including some games that are hitting Game Pass available day one, such as Chained Echoes, which looks very much my jam. And then also Hello Neighbor 2. Saw a really cool video with Mr. Beast. He was a big Hello Neighbor fan. It's available on day one. I know, Larry, it scares the heck out of you.
It does.
It's a horror game. Look, just because it's cartoony doesn't mean it can't be scary.
I know. I'm crawling around in Callista Protocol, and I'm okay with that. But crazy neighbor coming after me. I'm out.
I know you played and beat Alien Isolation,
that's
and yet
right.
The neighbor is what freaks you out.
Yep. Listen, I think it's the dun 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 dun.
It's like a millennial's nightmare having to interact with neighbors and make small talk with people. Yeah. Even if it wasn't a horror game, it would still be scary to me. So, yeah.
Okay. Well,
there you go. I always look. I'm like, are any neighbors outside? No? Okay. I can walk my dog.
I got the word.
Jeff, yes. You did?
Orange.
Bingo! Orange.
I had one all the way, 1 through 10, basically.
1 through 10.
Were you, wait a minute, were you doing that while you were doing the news? What is going on? Yeah.
I'm a born multitasker, Larry.
Wow. I got it in 36
guesses. That's even more impressive. That's why I wanted to call it out.
Kelly, mm-hmm. Thank you for introducing me to this game, because this is going to be something that is going to be very popular in my house.
This new daily.
It's so fun. It's so humbling sometimes. Right, I'm just like, am I okay? Yeah.
Couldn't have felt dumber, but got there. And you know what? That is it. It's kind of the Elden Ring or the Dark Souls of these sort of word games, I feel like. So anyway,
fair point.
You can boo me for calling anything the Dark Souls of anything. A couple of other interesting things. We talked a little bit about the Xbox Gear Shop. They have a lot of new holiday stuff. Larry, we're going to be gift wrapping some stuff next week. I know we talked about
it a little bit. I actually have some of this stuff. Look at this.
Oh my, an Age of Empires sweater. Wait, it's got the meat that you harvest. I love that.
Little game pass snowman.
Gosh, the Game Pass snowman.
Yep, there he is.
Oh my
gosh. How do we get these modeling gigs?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, we're not.
Look at that. Look at that jacket.
That's a nice jacket.
And then, Jeff, that's you really talked cool. about this on the last show, this next thing coming up. There it is.
Yes, that is the controller hoodie. Oh, go back. The controller hoodie, which is sold out, by the way, but they are taking pre-orders for the new, they have to make more, and that'll be in Q1. So next year, but pre-order now, because they went very, very quickly. Who would have thought? Controller hoodies.
Who would have thought? Love the age sweater. I love the trebuchet on the front.
By the way, can we talk about controllers for a second? Can we talk about controllers for a second?
If you would like to, Larry.
Oh, let me get it. I got this.
It's your podcast.
Hold on. It's ours, Kelly. It's ours. Hold on. I got the Nano from Power A. I got the Nano from Power A, the little tiny controller.
Ooh, yeah.
And that's...
It's for your Christmas tree, Kelly.
It's because look at this.
Yeah,
this,
it can go on my Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
This is the normal size controller.
Christmas tree. It's just
And I wanted to point out what the size is on this thing. So this is the normal size control. Let me go full screen on me so you can kind of get a better look at it. And then this, so this is the normal size controller. And then this is the Nano. So you can see it's kind of, it's much tinier.
That's good for small hands.
Yeah. So it is, it is wired. It is wired. I don't know why it's not picking up this, but it's also got paddles on the back here. Two little switches, I should say. They're not necessarily proper paddles. But anyway, Power A Nano. So if you're looking for a little something to hang on the Christmas tree or put under the Christmas tree, go pick one of those up. So I want to make sure you're wearing those.
I love it.
So,
hey, yes. As someone with, I have incredibly tiny hands, and I, when I first started gaming, using an Xbox controller was so difficult. Like, I could hold like a PlayStation one, and it's funny because my brothers were like, oh, it's easier for me to hold an Xbox controller. Sure. And now I feel like they've both done a really great job at making something that is comfortable for like a much wider range of people. Yeah. And so like I just got my custom Elite 2 controller, and am obsessed. Like I love it. So yeah, it's good to see the controllers evolve and options for everyone.
It's amazing the work that goes into it. We have something called the Human Factors Lab on campus at Microsoft. And the amount of testing that goes into every, like these headphones and controllers and like sort of anything that a person will touch that we create to make sure that as many types of people as possible of all shapes and sizes can enjoy it.
And abilities.
It's really cool to see what they do. Yes. Very good point. And they have there a really like a giant controller that's this big. And the point of it is to simulate like, what if you were a kid? What would the regular size controller, what would that feel like to you? And and it's sort of is a lesson in empathy, I think. But even then, also to make sure that you still reach everything you need to reach. But it's cool that for those who would prefer a smaller controller, that Power 8 made one.
We're gonna take a break here. We got some interviews. We've got a bunch of interviews that I want to roll in here. And then on the other side, we got a little bit more news, then we'll wrap it up. So Kelly, do you have anything else before I toss it over to Kelly?
No, toss away.
All right, Kelly, why don't you get us into the interviews?
All right. So we have some really fun interviews this week. We have Larry talking to Andre from Riot Games. We have Jeff talking with Darby, all things Assassin's Creed. So looking forward to that. We have Kim from the Xbox Online Safety Team and Joe getting into that Diablo news that I mentioned. Check them out.
Working at the studios there and being the head of League, tell us, I mean, it is such an extraordinary team you have. I know some friends of mine and coworkers that have worked at Xbox that have gone to Riot and have such a great time over there, and people move around in the industry all the time. But, you know, you're creating these beloved world-class IP titles. That's a tremendous responsibility. Mm-hmm. Dan, I want to see if you could tell me about how the team thinks about that and what their dedication is to the community.
Oh, certainly. So I think we're pretty fortunate at Riot that we're in a position where we can afford to take a really long-term focus.
Right.
You know, so we're not having to worry too much about the exact state of, you know, finances or whatever it is this year, and instead, hey, what's the long-term player experience we're trying to build? What should good look like, you know, in the next few months, the next few years, occasionally even, you know, being able to dream of it longer term than that. And so we've got a really iterative build it with players while the game is live approach to things.
Right.
You know, we're not always going to get stuff right the first time. And as our players tell us, we certainly don't a fair bit of the time. But we'll take another swing at it, you know, whenever we need to.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the, it seems such a obvious approach, but a lot of folks don't take that approach, and it's great to hear that over at Riot that you take those, you know, your approach just so wonderfully. For Game Pass members who are going to be jumping into the world of League or Valorant and other Riot titles for the first time, what should they expect? Because this is big news, and people are going to be coming in, and, you know, we've all heard stories of, oh, I'm a newbie, I'm going to get ground up and spit out. But tell us about what folks can expect going in.
Yeah, so our focus is generally on games that are pretty gameplay first,
yeah,
at their core. on, you know, as you know, games as a service / live service, we're going to be continually trying to improve them, you know, a patch every couple of weeks generally. And a real focus whenever we can on, you know, talking to the community, understanding what's bugging them, what opportunities do they see, you know, what would they like to see for a new set of content release in Teamfight Tactics, or what are their thoughts on the latest Valorant agent, that sort of thing. And doing that, you know, iterative, you know, process with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it is in my history with gaming, it's the journey and bringing the gamers along on the journey and having that constant dialogue. And it also helps, as you said, you know, your experience was you weren't in this field, you were in the urban planning field, and that was, so you were a player. So coming in as a player provided you, I mean, I have to ask you, because I always love asking this question. The first time in there, you're like, did you have the two or three like bothersome things that you wanted to go fix because now you were in charge? Is that the way it worked?
It was actually more the two or three things I was really excited to try that I thought should be added to the game.
Oh, interesting. You
know, the character abilities I'd always dreamed of getting to try out and being excited by.
Yeah.
And wanted to take my stab at. Some of which worked, some of which were terrible in retrospect.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because we talked about the passion of the community, and you have tremendous fans, and you have this great communication between your player place and the developers. There's also an incredible wide variety of gameplay mechanics that you have, but what are really some of the key hallmarks across all these titles, the Riot titles that are going to be coming to Game Pass?
I think a lot of it is we're trying to make games that people will hopefully love for hundreds or even thousands of games. You know, a real focus on depth, on where we can, a really resonant thematic, a character fantasy that people can really connect with and hopefully love seeing those characters in a range of different contexts. So, you know, both the games like League of Legends or Teamfight Tactics, or the show Arcane that, you know, we had last year with Netflix.
I also want to point out that the game's coming to Game Pass, and this news is happening, like we say, imminently. So you can go check out news.xbox.com, and we'll have a blog post up there as well. But there's a lot of benefits that you're bringing, like all the characters and whatnot are unlocked and so forth for Game Pass members, right? So people can get in there and get going and playing right away, and they have the full breadth of content available to them. Is that accurate?
That's correct. So players will get the full range of characters in League and Valorant, all the foundation cards and Legends of Runeterra, which is the card game, and then a selection of cosmetics as well in Teamfight Tactics. And then on top of that, they'll also get some accelerated progress for, like, you know, the event passes, the battle pass type systems. None of that pay for power, of course. That's all like faster cosmetics and so on unlocks.
But the great part about this is that it, because you have access to all the characters, it really unlocks and allows people to experiment with the different gameplay elements, so they can kind of find the way, what makes them most comfortable, right?
Yeah, exactly. Find the character that really clicks with you, or the thematics you love, or even just the role and play style that are your thing.
Yeah. You know, I was doing some research. This is the first time on our side where Game Pass benefits are going to extend beyond PC titles and are also going to include mobile-only and mobile-accessible titles. Can you tell us why this is such an so important and a big deal for your team?
I mean, the core of it is, you know, something we describe as we want to go where players are. You know, we originally built League of Legends on PC because that's where we thought the player base for that sort of game was.
Yeah.
But nowadays, especially for some genres, hey, players want to be playing stuff on mobile. Cool, we're going to go there as a result. We're going to, you know, do our best to make really great mobile experiences, sometimes just for mobile, like Wild Rift.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, cross-platform games.
One of the things, you know, I've watched some League tournaments, and they can be very fast-moving. I mean, we have some of the highest caliber of players I've ever seen in any platform. What do you think about with game design when you're designing for like these big tournaments or these really fast-paced mechanics? But also, how do you balance between making sure that you're taking care of these gamers that are, some of these are pro gamers, are very good, and also making the game accessible?
Yeah, so we've got dedicated balance teams on each of the games who look at a wide range of different player skills when they think about how mechanics should work. You know, what the numbers on an ability should be, that sort of thing, to try and get a good experience to everybody. And we also believe that there's a lot of value in the regular play and the professional experience, you know, being consistent. You get a lot more excited when you can understand what's going on. You can learn things, you can be inspired, that sort of thing. And then when we're thinking about how things also work in the pro scene, we're going to be thinking as well about, you know, the viewer experience in particular. You know, what leads to exciting spectacle? What leads to some of those great turnaround moments? What lets players really express their skill? That sort of thing.
As somebody who came from, I mean, with all due respect, came from the community because you were a player first and now you're working there and you're the head of it. You're the head of League Studios. Do you look at some of these players now and go, wow, I could never do that? Or this is just far beyond anything I could imagine?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I still play a lot, but even a professional player is a light years ahead of me.
Right.
I mean, so are a lot of our regular, you know, non-professional players as well. And some of the stuff that we've seen the community develop over time, you know, things we didn't originally expect that weren't intentional designs that have just become so much more powerful, so foundational to play, has been really exciting.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's so much going on. We've got, you know, with Riot, you've got League of Legends Wild Rift, Legends of Runeterra, Teamfight Tactics, and Valorant. These are extraordinary games. They're coming to Xbox, to PC Game Pass, like, imminently, with all of the unlocks, all of the content that you have access to really get people going right away. And this is going to be a real big flood of new players into your community. You must be looking forward to that as well.
Oh, extremely. I mean, very excited. I mean, always slightly intimidated by potential Russian new faces coming to engage. But yeah, that's the great part of this sort of job here.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. There's just, it's so exciting. And again, if you want to check out more details, go to news.xbox.com. So excited to have Riot as part of Game Pass. Andre Van Roon, head of League Studios. I want to thank you for your time today. Thank you for telling us a little bit about the games. And look, at the end of the day, go play yourself. Try them out. There's no reason not to. Part of Game Pass, right, Andre?
Absolutely.
All right. And thank you, my friend. And good luck and have a great holiday.
Thanks. You too.
You know, we launched Xbox Series X and S just over 2 years ago. And the first disc that went into my Series X drive was Assassin's Creed Valhalla. 108 hours later, I just checked, I cleared the main game. But Ubisoft, they were not done with Ivor. They took her to Ireland. By the way, her. Yes, definitely her. To Ireland, to Paris, the mythical realm of Svartalheim. There was tons of places. And this week, Ubisoft announced the final content update for Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which will be available now, actually, on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S. And to hear all about it, we are introducing narrative director of all of Valhalla, Darby McDevitt. Darby, thank you so much for joining us. How does it feel to sort of be in the home stretch with Eivor, this character that you've undoubtedly been working with for several years?
It feels, there's a great sense of relief. We first came up with this character back in mid 2018. I remember very specifically, our previous game Odyssey had introduced this idea of character choice, and we wanted to honor that, but we wanted to come up with like a really clever way of making that choice consistent with our lore, right? So we dip back into the archives of like how this Assassin's Creed universe works, and we found a clever way to actually justify this choice. So indeed, like Eivor is a woman, but she's a reincarnation of somebody very, very special, and that ends up being the male avatar. And as soon as we kind of came up with that idea, we started forming this personality. We went and looked up these what is Odin, the god, the Norse god Odin? What are those personality traits? And we wanted to map them in some loose way onto this woman, and gradually unfold the story of who she is and who she was in the distant past. And so the last chapter is kind of a culmination of all of that, where she now finally acknowledges that she understands what's going on. I think in the beginning she thinks that Odin's talking to me this whole game. Like, am I special? But she doesn't know how special. She thinks that Odin's just talking to her, but it's actually her talking to herself in a way. And so the last chapter is this really nice way to shine a spotlight on that, both for people who decided to play the male avatar and the female avatar. We bring them together in a way that that honors both choices, if you will. And so hopefully if you didn't pick up all the big clues we were dropping for your 108 hours, well, now this is the moment of truth, and both characters kind of get to exist together for the first time in a way, and sort of just have a pleasant conversation. So it's kind of a meeting or a moment that's, you know, many years in the making, and I'm happy to have reached it.
Let's talk about that. We've got to enjoy Ava for 2 years, and for you, conceiving of her the 2 years before that. This is the 15th anniversary of Assassin's Creed, and I remember checking out the original with Altair back at E3 2007. It's crazy how much time and how much time we've gotten to spend really in the Assassin's Creed universe since that time. Knowing that there are just all-time fan favorite characters like Ezio, for me, Cassandra, you know, for some people it might be Edward Kenway, many, many characters. What was it like? And like, what is the pressure like on saying, I need to develop someone that one is going to stand up to that group. And then also is someone you're going to want to spend 108 plus hours with. And I'm just curious, like how that works and what the, I don't know, how do you feel that?
Yeah, it's a good question, because you feel like, video games especially, you're not just asking the question like, what's a good character, like you would on a TV show. You know, we have a lot of, if you have your favorite TV shows, there's always a dozen characters, and they're all very different, and they have different, you know, attitudes, and some are timid and some are courageous. But when you narrow that field down to what's a hero that you would like to be for 100 hours, sometimes you feel like the range of that kind of character gets a little narrower, and there's got to be this heroic element. There's got to be this motivated element. So it's very tough, and you want to, I think with Ava or with any of the characters is how do we make this character unique, but still, satisfy the player every step of the way. For us, our model was, using a lot of the Viking sagas to sort of draw out this sort of the typical heroic figure from the sagas, the character with honor, who demands respect, who gives respect, who balks at dishonor and things like that, but hopefully has a bit of a sense of humor about it. But you need to find that nuance, and it can be tough. You always feel like when you're creating a new character that there's a very well-trod ground in front of you, and you're trying to sort of veer off a little bit. But like I said, the sagas, the actual Icelandic sagas were a great inspiration. There's a great book you can buy. It's a good 800 pages, super thick. And you get a real, interesting look into this about 300 year period of history where they had a very different idea of what a hero was. So we tried to draw from that.
One of the things I think that was interesting about Eivor's journey compared to many of the Assassin's Creed, like when you go back and you think of Ezio was born and bred in Italy and was in his element, but you know, Eivor was coming from Norway and was experiencing new people and new ways of handling things, and so that sort of you know, stranger in a strange land sort of atmosphere and feeling their way through it was really cool. And then, of course, you then took Eivor to many other places, real and mythical, throughout the core game and through the DLCs. Do you have any sort of like key moments or like favorite parts like throughout all of Eivor's journey that really stand out to you? And if there's anything that maybe people have missed in any of those DLCs, if it happens to be in Ireland or Svartalheim or Paris or anywhere else like that, that people should really make sure they check out before we sort of tie a bow on Eivor.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for me, just most of the time, it just comes down to character interactions. We had a great time bringing to life Eivor's interactions with a lot of the historical characters. There's kind of a two arc story with the the Ragnarssons, you know, the there's Oba and Ivar the Boneless, and that happens over two arcs. I think that one was a really fun one to bring to life, just because the characters are so colorful and different from Eivor, and trying to show that, you know, there is this great that came into England, and they wanted to settle, and they had very violent ways of doing that. But within that, you saw lots of diversity in how they wanted to approach it. Some people wanted to be conquerors. Some people wanted to be, they just wanted to integrate. So telling that very difficult story through the lens of these different Vikings was very, very fun. And also gradually, all the moments where the pagan and Christian forces kind of try to make amends or try to find common ground, or when they can't find common ground, are also interesting to me. But it's really just the character moments. And there's, like, I think, based on feedback from fans, for instance, I think a lot of the favorite moments are like the really quiet moments. There's a campfire scene where Eivor speaks with Basim, and they just talk about their past together. And it's not a flashy cutscene, but it's, I think the writing's good. The performances are fantastic, and it comes at just the right moment in the story. And I just think just more scenes like that are what I always strive for. It's the best special effect is a good performance and a good situation. And then also just the polar opposite is just free roaming through this land and feeling the wind on your face and the music in the air is just, there's nothing quite like that in any other medium. So I think that's it. It's character moments and exploration that's why I come to these games and games like it.
For sure. And that's why we've been coming to these games for 15 years and counting now. So let's talk about full credit here to Steven Sotillo from Axios. He sort of pointed out that, recent Ubisoft games have been adding DLCs that sort of bridge from one to the next, like Watch Dogs 2 sort of indicated that we were going to be going to London next with some stuff that dropped in later if you could figure it out. And Ghost Recon Wildlands also did something similar that connected to The Division. And here's a little more overt, I think, with this shared history DLC. What can you tell us about that? That's separate from the last chapter.
Well, it's something that's... I remember when Assassin's Creed first came out, I didn't work on the first three games, but I was working on Assassin's Creed while 2 was in development. I lived in Seattle and was working on some handheld games. So very early on, I got to be in the kind of the mix of how the games connect to each other as a series. It's, you know, this series has tried to do something that very few video games have tried to do, which is a serialized story over many, many, many years when games are being made in parallel, which is a very difficult thing to do. But I remember even with the thread, it ends with Desmond seeing all these crazy symbols on the wall of his bedroom. That's his prison. And immediately fans are like, whoa, what does this mean? There's references to cultures all over the world. So immediately you start to speculate, and I think that's actually the hallmark of any great franchise, is it allows players to start creating the next episodes in their head even before the announcement has been made. There's very few series that can do that well, but I think with its focus on history, we can do that because we have, you know, fans can go, oh, okay, we've got all of history open to us. So by AC2, we started breadcrumbing, like, where might we go next? What might happen next? And I think it was fun to get back into that mode with the last chapter and just all the final DLC offerings is really just continue that story, make a clear bridge from Valhalla into Mirage. That's coming later. And obviously the bridge already existed because there's the character Basim and he's kind of a fan favorite. So that's even more explicit. I don't think we've done that in small ways, right? We had a character in Assassin's Creed 4, we had Adewale, and then he got this fantastic DLC. But this one, you know, it's kind of continuing a tradition, but maybe turning it up a notch. And it was fun. It's fun to make it feel like this isn't just a single game. It's an ongoing series. It's an ongoing story, and we're just never going to stop telling it, baby.
So speaking of fun, there's a lot of fun little things that are in addition to the story stuff. I'm just going to read them out here. Ezio's outfit, you know, the famous sort of white hood and the big leather belt, that is coming into the game. I guess a fan requested feature to be able to fight with your hood up is coming into the game, is available now. And also from December 15th through the 19th, everyone will be able to play Assassin's Creed Valhalla for free during a free play weekend, if that's something you haven't had a chance to tie. There's not 108 hours in a weekend, so let that be your start. And then you can continue, you can pick up the game and continue from there. And then last thing that I also noticed is AC Valhalla and Destiny 2 are coming together with a crossover where there's going to be some Destiny-themed items in AC Valhalla and some Assassin's Creed things in Destiny 2, some cosmetics. So I guess you have to visit Eververse for that. But really, I have Ezio and Fall Guys. You know, there's no doubt the impact that Assassin's Creed has had really throughout gaming. And so, again, as we're tying a bow in here, any final thoughts on Ivor or just sort of like the 15 years of Assassin's Creed?
Well, I mean, it's been an incredible pleasure to bring the this kind of large scale storytelling to fans. You know, we started, the original Assassin's Creed games put a nice twist on the open world format by introducing parkour and this new way to traverse through these open worlds. You know, and don't go around the building, go over it, And that's fantastic. I think with this last, especially trilogy, we've taken a step up where we've been kind of, I hesitate to use the word simulate, but we've been trying to simulate entire cultures and not just, you know, small cities, but really give you the spaces in between as well. You know, if music is the space in between notes, maybe history is the space in between cities. But it's been a real pleasure to try to fill this space with stories, but with also just sort of quiet, reflective moments and really give you a sense of what it's like to live in these worlds for a while. And I think it was definitely the most challenging game I've ever worked on and one of the most rewarding. We like to joke at the office too, like every time we make an Assassin's Creed game, you know, the whole team has a master's degree in history in that particular period. So how many master's degrees do I have now? I don't know, but it's a fantastic feeling to drench yourself in that history and then give it to the players to experience. And we really just want you to feel like you've lived another life, which is kind of the backbone of even our story, right? Genetic memory. When you're done with this, you now have this embedded genetic memory of having lived as a Viking for 2 years. So I hope people feel the same way, and I'm so thrilled to be able to keep doing that into the foreseeable future.
And we already know where the future's going with Mirage and Hex. We're going to Japan and lots of other places. So for now, let's enjoy really, again, tying a bow on Ivor's journey and with the DLC that is available now. So Darby McDevitt, thank you so much for joining us today, and just big fan of your work. So thanks again for joining us here.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
Video Game Awards last night. A lot of awards handed out, but there was also some great news for Diablo fans. And joining me today is Joe Shelley from the Diablo team. Joe, great to see you.
Hi. Great to see you too.
What a lovely night last night. Of course, the Game Awards, it's a great moment for the industry, but you guys had some great news with this big onstage event. And then, of course, you had this amazing cinematic and then the news. So tell us about the news. People want to know when they can play the game and what's going on.
Yeah, it's really exciting to finally be able to talk about the release date, to talk about the ability for people to pre-order the game. As you may have heard, Diablo 4 is coming June 6, 2023. Excited to be able to talk about that publicly, you know. And for folks who pre-order the game, they're going to get a lot of really cool stuff, including early access to our public beta.
That's really great news. And I love seeing when people when people are going to get access to it. Now, the beta is something, and we'll talk about that date later on when you guys reveal that information. But the game itself, I mean, Diablo is such a storied history. Everybody's a fan of Diablo. It's been around. Tell me about your journey with Diablo and what brought you to the team. I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I've been a fan of Diablo for such a long time. I mean, I was playing in college, you know, when I was supposed to be doing homework. so it's a good thing I end up working on it. and, you know, it's such an honor to be able to work on Diablo 4 and to be able to, you know, speak for the incredible work of the team, you know, just in terms of the cinematic that we saw and all of the gameplay that we're able to bring. And, you know, one of the things that I'm especially excited about with Diablo 4 is that, you know, it's going to be available on consoles and PC right on release, right? So, you know, as we've announced, it's going to be available on Xbox One, Xbox Series S and X, and also on, you know, PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, same day as it's out on PC.
You know, one of the things I want to talk to you about is you know, we've had Diablos on the console before, and they always feel so right with the controller. And I know that's a real science and a little bit of art and a little bit of science of translating a game that's traditionally a mouse and keyboard game into this device that you hold in your hand. Tell us about how the team handles that, because it's you're one of the few companies that does it just so well.
Thank you. You know, it's the product of incredibly hard work by our engineers and our designers and our UX team. You know, the one of the things that the controller allows is for a really smooth direct control of your character. And that can be so great in an action RPG where you have lots of spells flying around, tactical positioning on the screen is really important. And, you know, so when we're building the control scheme for the controller, you know, we really think about what is our button layout? Where are things that you need to be able to access really quickly? And also how to handle targeting. You know, we really upgraded both our soft targeting and our target lock functionality in Diablo 4.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it so feel so natural here. When you were working on Diablo 4 through the years, and I know we talked about it off the air before we started recording, we have a mutual friend, Rod Ferguson, who's been on the show many, many times, who's now, he's like the big boss over there. But it's what's it like working with Rod and the team on this story title, on this amazing title?
You know, Rod works really hard, I think, to be accessible to the team. You know, he hosts a weekly kind of an office hours. He calls it a Rodcast, but it's basically just come in and like talk to the person who's making a lot of you know, who's a really key stakeholder of the product, and it allows people to give. Ask questions, ask about direction, you know, and, you know, we have an incredible team of people who have been, you know, honestly working on this game for, you know, again, going back to how excited I am to be able to like talk about it publicly and show off, you know, everything that we could show off at the Game Awards, because, you know, it's really the work, it's really validating when something that you've worked on individually, you know, people get to see it and you get to say, yeah, I worked on that. You know, that was, you know, I worked on that shadow or, you know, I worked on that monster, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause like I said, I know your team's been working on this for quite some time, but being able to finally exhale and release, because now the news is out there, now people have seen the trailer, they you have a great blog post up that we'll link off to that has all of the information about all the different options, all the different SKUs, and then of course it's pre-order available, and then then of course your date later on June 6th, which is just phenomenal. And it's got to feel great for the team to be able to okay, now I can talk about what I'm working on, and get ready, because June is, I mean, it's 6.5 months away, 7 months away. I mean, that's not a lot of time in game development, right?
It's not. You know, and I think that it's really nice to be able to have the game in such a in such a playable state where we can really look at it and reflect on it and say, okay, well, how can we bring this up, you know, a little bit more? Like, we have a little bit of breathing room to iron out balance issues, to iron out, you know, squash bugs, you know. And it's not a lot of time.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so glad that the game is as polished as it is right now, you know. Yeah.
Well, again, I want to congratulate you guys for a great night at the Game Awards last night. We saw this amazing cinematic trailer, this amazing stage moment. And of course, at the end of the day, people care about one thing. When can I get it? And that's, you released all the information June 6th, 2023. Really appreciate it. Joe Shelley, game director for Diablo 4. Thanks again. And we'll have you back on again, maybe closer to launch.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you so much.
All right. Congratulations. And thanks again.
Thanks.
A lot of new people are going to be joining us in the Xbox community. And so there is no better time to think about safety for those new members of the community, and no better person to speak to than Kim Kunis, who is the general manager of trust and safety at Xbox. Kim, first of all, thanks for joining us. And can you tell us, what does the general manager of trust and safety do?
Absolutely. And thanks for inviting me. Really appreciate it. So my name is Kim Kunis, and my pronouns are she and her. My role is broad within Xbox and really reflects how much investment Team Xbox makes in trust and safety. I feel very grateful to be able to lead such a strong group of people at a company that really, truly values this work so much. The Xbox Trust and Safety team plays a critical role in ensuring that our players have peace of mind. We really want our players to feel confident in bringing their friends and their family members to Xbox, to be able to trust that they're safe, to trust us that their information is protected, and that our content and experiences are accessible to them. Everyone should feel welcomed, no different than if you invited your friends and family to play on your living room couch. And we're constantly listening to our players. We want to consider feedback. We want to, you know, figure out how we can do better. We don't think that safety is one size fits all. It's really a custom thing that our players need to have a voice in.
So I would love to talk about specifics. I'd imagine a lot of people listening to this show have been in the Xbox community for a really long time. And they might think, you know, I've got it covered. But so much has changed and so many new features have been added to the ecosystem over the years. I would love to hear from you about what existing players and their friends, because like our existing players really highly influence their friends who might be coming in, telling them what to play. But I think there should really be a conversation on what kind of settings and what sort of, you know, measures should you take to protect yourself. So I'd love to hear from you on what are those things that all of us should really know.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when we think about safety, we really think about it in a multifaceted way. We want to center our activities, our actions, our features around players and ensure that they have the right tools to have a positive experience. And so one piece of this is really creating a strong community of gamers who are thoughtful about their behaviors and who are guided by our community standards. So we think that's a really important piece of it. And, you know, for our players to have visibility to the standards and expectations. We also want to give players a choice about the types of content and experiences that they are comfortable with. As I mentioned earlier, safety and expectations around safety and experience aren't one size fits all. So we do offer robust settings across web and text and video filtering, and players can update these at any time, and they work across the entire Xbox platform. And then I'll talk a little bit about some of the kind of proactive and reactive approaches that we offer and the tooling that we use. So when I talk about proactive tools, this is really about detecting problematic behavior with a goal of removing that content before it can have a negative impact on our players. We do use a range of technology that supports us in doing that. So we're proactively flagging and we're filtering text and images and video. This process is automated with some help from artificial intelligence, which actually reduces the need for human review at scale, which also reduces the impact that some of that toxic content has on our human moderators. So we use that automation. And then additionally, we're also relying on our human moderators to provide feedback about the nuances to that content and feed that learning back into our automation. So again, really about continuous improvement. On the reactive side of things, when we look at, you know, there are things that we miss. We want our players to be able to report to us on additional issues that they see as not being in alignment with our community standards. So we want to know about that. And so those robust reporting features allow players to report another player, a message or content that they see on the service that they don't think is in line with the experience that we're expecting and that they're expecting. So once submitted, these reports are logged. They're sent to our moderation platform for review by a content moderation agent where they can then be acted on. So this is really, you know, we have a wide set of tools and the approach that we're taking around policy and interaction with our players, again, so that we can really learn and improve on what we're doing collectively from start to finish.
So one of my favorite things as a gamer dad is has been like the joy of passing on the joy of gaming and gaming on Xbox to my daughter. And there's a lot of things I think that if you, let's say that's something that you, a listener, might be thinking of doing for the first time here this holiday. Let's say, you're unwrapping an Xbox Christmas morning, first night of Hanukkah, whenever it might be. I think there's like a desire, like I just want to get this thing up and running and take the updates as quickly as possible. But there's some things that are really important to do to set your child's gaming journey off on the right foot. I'm holding up here the Xbox Family Settings app, which I have found immensely useful. I would love to hear recommendations you might have to protect the newest gamers among us.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that question and love hearing parents who want to experience that with their kids and really have a dialogue from the very beginning, because it's up to a partnership between us at Xbox and parents so they can feel confident in their child's experience and so that families can really build stronger digital skills and safely navigate some of their online experiences. So we do offer a pretty robust set of parental controls, and this is all about helping children to have a safer experience on our platform, and then giving parents tools to be able to manage that in a convenient way, a way that's really easy and visible to them that they can use the web for or mobile device. You mentioned the Xbox Family Settings app. So our child accounts come with a default settings that block children from viewing or playing games that have mature ratings. They allow parents to control settings to ask for permission for other actions like playing multiplayer games online, chatting with other players, making purchases, so appropriate spending limits, etc. We also give parents a weekly activity report when they have a child account set up for their child that outlines kind of what time they're spending on Xbox. It includes things like games played, the amount of time that they spend on those games, and then any purchases they may have made. So really allowing parents to take a very active role in managing their children's gameplay, who they're playing with and talking to, and then the amount of time that they're spending, and really utilizing that relationship between their kids, having a way to monitor and manage that, but so that the child and the parent can participate together.
Yeah, I think it's just so important what you said about this being really a partnership between the tools that Xbox provides and individual parents being able to make those decisions for their children. And I think one of the best parts about the app and about the settings that are on offer is that, like, as my child has aged up into becoming a teenager, what I trust her with and what she's really like earned the right to do in my eyes has evolved. And originally I had it,
absolutely,
no messaging. I approve every friend. You cannot play multiplayer. There's a lot of games I don't want you to play. And then over time it's like, okay, we've played this game together. This was a T-rated game. I feel comfortable with you to do that. And you can do that. And, but it is that partnership and it is the step that it is so worthwhile to take. The best time, I think, to do it is when you're getting a new console or introducing your child for the first time. The next best time is right now. Like, as you're listening to this, download the Family Settings app or check out,
yes,
your account on Microsoft.com. You can sign in and check these things out. And really take advantage of those things. You'll be glad that you did. That app did not exist, you know, in 2003, when, of course, it didn't. Smartphones didn't exist. If we go back to the early days of Xbox Live, I would love to hear, you know, during the time you've been here, like, how have you seen the brand's approach to trust and safety evolve and improve?
Yeah, absolutely. So I will share a slightly embarrassing personal story. I have worked at Microsoft for 15 years in Xbox and then also in our security product space. So I'm pretty familiar with best practices around security and also the ways I should monitor my own children online. When my son, who is now 18, was about 8, I used my credit card to buy him a couple of game expansion packs in a game that shall not be named. I was likely probably busy with his sister, who was a toddler at the time. At least that's going to be my excuse. I let him enter my credit card info for the pack purchase, and then he handed it back to me. No big deal. Unbeknownst to me, he had saved the card on his account. And a couple months later, we noticed we were getting a huge number of small charges on our credit card over a couple months. They added up to about $800. It was a lot of money. I called billing support for Xbox, trying to figure out why we had all these charges. And I found out that he was randomly buying more packs every time he played with the card that I had given him that he had attached to his account. And I was angry at my son. He knew better. He was only 8, but he should have known better. Mm-hmm. But I was also a little bit, you know, obviously embarrassed I had let it happen. But I was also really kind of questioning, as a company, how could we do more to help parents out? Parents are busy. We're sometimes distracted. So I was really excited to see when, about a year ago, we released much more robust spending limits and controls as part of our family feature set. It gives parents the ability to have an easy way of controlling spending. You can give allowances to your kids, mm-hmm. And assure that people like me don't unintentionally give an 8-year-old free rein with a credit card. So what I'm really hopeful here is that, you know, as we've continued to build these features and capabilities, parents find it easier and easier to manage this environment and also to manage that conversation with their kids. Because at the end of the day, that event just started up a great dialogue between me and my child that has continued over the years. And so that visibility, education that comes with the ability to manage these controls, it's just a great conversation starter between parents and kids too.
That's such a great point. I've had very similar conversations with my daughter around, because you can regulate through the app and through the settings how often they can play, for how long they can play, when everything shuts down for the night, things like that. And we end up sometimes in conversations, well, I did my homework and, you know, can I play for 30 more minutes? Yeah, after you do the dishwasher, you can play for 30 more minutes. And it just has been like a good mix. And I'm really glad these tools exist. So to wrap up here, where's a great place for not just parents, but all of us as gamers to learn more about the different trust and safety, really the perspective from Xbox?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have, you have availability to look at the community standards report, which we have available online. You mentioned the Family Settings app already. We've also got some information on our site about settings to ensure that you've got your settings set up for privacy, safety settings. If you're a parent or caregiver, please download the Xbox Family Settings app. And then there's availability to make those changes on the web as well. Additionally, we've done a couple of Minecraft worlds to educate kids on safety. And so those are available online as well. That's really a learning module for kids to walk through and learn about how to keep themselves safe online, things to look for, et cetera. So quite a lot of resources out there for parents and for children as well.
Thanks so much, Kim. There's so much good stuff here. The community is only as good as the actions that we take. So it's so important to take those actions. And we know we have an awesome community here. So protect yourself, help make this a great place, the best place to play games.
Amazing. Thank you so much for spending the time and doing all those interviews. We have some news to wrap up the pod.
Yeah, we do. We got a couple more things to talk about. Jeff, I know you've got, I think, one or two more things before we let everybody go here, right?
Sure. Yeah, this is a lengthy podcast, and there was a lot of news in it, so it might have been a little intense, you know. And I've been sitting here drinking coffee milk. I don't know about you, Kelly. How do I relax? Well,
how do you? Yeah, what does Jeff do to relax?
What do I do besides make really extended segues? Well, this week we reaffirmed our ongoing support of players' mental health year round. So as part of this, we have a partnership to bring the first ever video game themed soundscapes to the platform by joining with Calm.
Yes.
So anyone, gamer or not, can immerse themselves and enjoy the meditative sounds of Sea of Thieves and Halo Infinite.
Oh, there it is right there.
Oh, through Calm Premium.
Let's all close our eyes and just relax. This is from Sea of Thieves.
That is really nice, actually.
I know.
All right.
One time when I was streaming, I switched from Sea of Thieves to something else, and I forgot to close out Sea of Thieves. So like you could still hear like the water in the background. Right. And I was like an hour into playing another game. And I was like, why didn't anyone tell me that you could still hear like Sea of Thieves sounds? And they were like, well, it was nice. So was we nice. Didn't want to, we liked it. So we wanted to keep it going. So amazing that now you can just listen to it.
I actually really like that. So starting this week, I'm going to take advantage of, if you're an Xbox Game Pass Ultimate member, you know how we have perks. A lot of times it might be an Apex Legends, weapon charm or something like that. This is a different perk. You can receive 3 months of Calm Premium for free. And then if you want to continue listening to these soothing sounds, you can save 50% off of a first year subscription if you sign up. That is for new Calm Premium members only. Calm will also offer a 7-day free trial to
subscription
content. Yes.
By the way, there's also that was the Sea of Thieves one. We also have a Halo one. So
I have to hear this. How does Halo calm you down? Let's hear it.
So this is, remember, when you're down on the ring.
Oh, rushing water.
Right. Yes. So here, let me fast forward a little bit. There, so now we got a little bit more space sound. Well, that's
Halo white noise. I like it.
Right?
Yeah. I immediately thought it was going to be like the chanting. I was going to do my impression, but I'll save everyone.
Are you sure? We've got time here at the end of the show.
But this is the Halo one. Head over to Calm here. You can find your Calm, and now you can find it in help Sea of Thieves and Halo. Some of the backgrounds there. That's kind of cool. I've always thought about this, that the audio that we hear in these games, some of it is so relaxing. Right.
Mm-hmm. I've always been a big fan of the Minecraft music. So there were times where, like my kid would be playing Minecraft and wouldn't turn off the Xbox, and it would just be going, and be like, no, we're good with this. It can just keep going.
Yeah.
You know, we call that something. When I was in radio, we used to call this kind of sound something. We used to call it audio wallpaper, because it's on in the background, but you don't really notice it. But it's there.
Mm. But you notice it when it's not there. Because
that's like I just took it out.
Yeah.
Just took it out. And now, I'll bring the ocean back
bring
in.
It back.
We should do future shows maybe
just
with
completely
some
with
wallpaper.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe not this one. But
anyway.
Podcast at the beach.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll go down to Westerly, right?
Westerly. We'll go to Narragansett.
That's the beach in Rhode Island. We'll get our coffee milk and go down to Westerly. Or Green Hill.
Pick up some potty pizza on the way.
All right. You knew we weren't going to get out of the show without bringing that up. So, all right, gang. We'll see you next week. Kelly, thank you for filling in. Appreciate you. Have a lovely holiday. We are definitely going to have you back on in 2023. We are going to be back, as I said earlier, we're going to be back for our final show of the 2022 next week, live in studio. Jeff and I, Return of Rebecca. That will be at 4:00 Eastern. That's 1:00 Pacific on the 16th, which is December, which is Friday. Jeff, anything you want to add before we go?
Larry, see there, you gave all the details. It was perfect. Now you can smash that like and subscribe button.
Like all that stuff. All right, Kelly, thank you. Kelly, have a great holiday.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure. I also love our festive outfits. I just noticed that we are...
red, white, and blue?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is green.
Well, it's green.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, that's right. That's right. Yeah. That's true. It looks blue on my monitor.
But my camera.
Yeah, exactly, but it is. That was an accidental. Kelly, go dress up your tree over there. Have fun. Jeff, we'll see you wherever you're going to do. You're going to go drink some coffee.
Mm-hmm. I'm empty. Yeah.
Okay. All right, gang.
Thank you guys for letting me be part of the pod. I'm excited to watch Rebecca next week, and take care.
All right. We'll see you guys next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
It's great to have you.